How many know that we are all worshipers? Do you know that today? How many have gotten that in your spirit saying, Pastor, I'm realizing that I'm a worshiper? And today, if you're a guest and you say, well, that's just not me. That's just not me, Pastor. I'm sorry. Some people worship, but I'm not a worshiper. And I say, yes, you are. I hate to break it to you today, but we're all worshipers. The question is not, are we a worshiper? Because that's already been established. We all worship. The question is this, what will we worship? Because you're going to worship something. You're going to worship something. I'm just not very expressive. I guarantee you I can hang around you long enough, and I'll find some things you're passionate about. Oh, I used to be when I was younger, but I'm at an age now. Well, let's get your grandkids out and let's see how excited you get. Let's take you out Friday night to the ball game. Let's see how excited you get. Let's take you to the mall and show you a 75% off sale. We get excited, but what is we excited about? What are the things we're passionate about? We can open up our checkbook or look at their account. We'll find things we're passionate about. So the question is not, will we worship? The question is, what will we worship? And we're establishing that we were created to worship Him. That you and I were created to give God glory in all that we do. And worship is not just what happens here on Sunday morning. Even though that's a big, important part, and we even talked about that, the important hour, that this is one of the most important times of the week, if not the most important time of the week, when we come together with our friends and our family and we worship God and get empowered and get discipled and worship together. But worship is not just about what happens on Sunday morning. That worship is a lifestyle. And for some of us, we have a hard time realizing that. We think of worship, all right, I'm at church, I'm worshiping. When I'm not at church, I'm living. And where do the two come together? They should come together in our everyday life. That we are called to be people of worship. And we've looked at what happens when we worship. We've looked at the battle that goes on for our worship. And we look at why our worship is torn. And why Satan is tearing at you to get you to worship other things other than God. We've seen where he has lost his place as a chief worship leader. And he is now trying to deceive us and to pull us away, entice us to not give God our worship, because he no longer can lead us in worship. He no longer can lead the angelic choir in worship, a position he once held. And we looked at the battles going on in our spirits and in the spirit realm. And when I worship the Lord, I'm releasing in the spirit, I'm releasing things to do battle on my behalf, things I don't even see. I'm releasing depressing spirits. I'm releasing things that are trying to attach themselves on me. And when I just give God praise, we looked at Paul and Silas and the power of their praise, didn't we? And what happened when they began to praise the Lord? It says that whole prison shook, man, and the chains fell off of them. And today, some of you today, maybe you feel that way. If you walked in today, chained up, bound up with maybe sin or problems or hurts or anger or depression. You say, I don't feel like I can get free. This person has hurt me really bad. Or I can't get free from this addiction that's dragging me down. I'm here to tell you, you will not get free on your own. You're right. You can't get free on your own. But it's only through the power of Jesus Christ can you be free today. Today I want to conclude this time together. I'm just going to talk to you for a few moments here, then we're going to go back into some more worship. I want to talk to you this thought. It's a very deep thought, and it's called this, just sing. Just sing. Some of you are thinking, oh, I thought it was going to be deep, Pastor. It is. I read this story, the scripture of the day, and as I was reading it, I realized that God is calling you and I to worship. And as I was reading this passage of the day, this really stood out to me in a way it never had before. And I wanted to share it with you. I believe today some of you are going to really get some insight to singing and some things that's going on in the worship in your life. Let's pick it up in Isaiah 54. In verse 1. We have it on the overhead. You can read along with us. And it says, sing. Everybody say that. Say, sing. The first words here, command of the Lord. It says, sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Now, let me give you a little background here. When this passage was wrote, what was he talking about here? He was talking about, obviously, it was a promise he was given to the woman who has been unable to conceive and give child. And just a little background, in ancient Israel, when this is wrote, that this thing was a time when, you know, Probably the most disgraceful thing that could ever happen to you in your life was not to be a woman and to not be able to bear a child. I mean, it was probably one of the most grossest humanistic male chauvinist things that had ever been given in Scripture. We see where these women were treated so badly because they were not able to give. It was a place of guilt. You were not considered a real woman. You were not considered. Matter of fact, we see in Scripture where they were actually able to give, and by law, they could give a woman divorce if she could not conceive a child. That you could legally divorce her and get rid of her just because she couldn't conceive. And so God was speaking to the woman who had been rejected. He was speaking to the woman who was in despair. He was speaking to the woman who had a lot of dreams of fulfilling life in her life. He was speaking to the woman who wanted to bring life out of her bosom. The one who wanted to bear a child and was not able to do that. And he was speaking to her. And he was saying, I know you're rejected. I know you're feeling very, very alone. I know you're feeling so alone. But this is my command to you. He starts off and he says, sing, O barren. Sing. Isn't that unique that God would say that? What a peculiar thing that he would start off saying, sing. I know you're depressed. I know you don't feel like you have hope in your life. I know you feel like you're not worthy. I know you feel like you just are washed up. And I know you feel like there's no hope for you. God says, but sing. Sing. And then he makes a promise in verse 1. Look what he says here. Break forth in the singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored in child. For more, here's a promise, for more are the children of the desolate. More are the children of those who don't have children yet than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. He starts off and says a command. First of all, I want you to sing. And he says, and when you sing, realize this, that more are going to be your children than the woman who is even married that you're trying to compare yourself to. I mean, what a promise that God gives here. What a peculiar promise. He says, I know that you're struggling here, but go ahead and sing anyway, because I'm going to bless you. Look what he says here. Once you sing in verse 2, look what it says in the next verse. He says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. What an awesome scripture. It's clear that the Lord is saying, all right, I know you got a problem, but I want you to sing anyway. And here's the promise that many are going to be your children. Many are the blessings that are coming to you. So he says, I want you to go ahead. Once you sing, I want you to act on the promise. Look what he says here. He says, enlarge, stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Wow. He says what? It's clearly he's saying, a baby's on the way. That's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, there's a baby on the way. Oh, I thought you couldn't conceive. You thought that you couldn't conceive. You thought you'd miscarry everything you tried to carry. Every dream you had, every promise you had that seemed to miscarry, never come to life. God's saying, I see it. And I'm commanding you to sing. And when you sing, realizing this, that the baby's on the way. That the baby's on the way. Look what verse 3 says. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. Now, if there's just one baby coming, what would he say? Just expand to the right. But when we read this and study it out, he's saying expand to the right and to the left. What's he saying? He's saying there's just not one baby coming. He's saying there's multiple babies coming here. He's speaking to the desolate. He's speaking to the barren. And he's saying, this is just not one baby. There's two babies coming here. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make you desolate cities inhabit. What a powerful word here. He says that more than one baby is on the way. And the problem, listen, the problem of barrenness is not confined to a woman unable to bear children. But what life we experience, but know that all of us here can experience barrenness in our life at times. It's just not confined to women who have been able to conceive. It's just not confined to women who have miscarried after miscarried after miscarried. But every one of us have things in our life that we can really be honest about There's a lot of things that we could really say that we've miscarried in our life. There's been a lot of dreams, a lot of passions, a lot of promises. Oh God, I'm going to serve you. I promise I'm going to serve you like I never had before. And then we don't do it. We fall through. Sin comes in and we give away to that. And we just are just not able to get over the top. And some of us have dreams that God has given us of ministry and doing things. Some of us here, we have dreams that our family are going to accept Christ and are going to come to know God. Some of you have children that you know need to return back to a right relationship with the Father. And we miscarry sometimes. We're afraid to even to dream about that again because we've been so disappointed. And we have a hard time coming to grips with that in our life. And God's saying to you today, sing, oh barren, sing. And when you sing, I want you to expand to the right and I want you to expand to the left because multiple children are coming to you. Multiple promises are coming to you. To the person who dare sing in faith. To the person who would dare sing with a barren soul, with a barren womb. To the person who's miscarried after miscarried and miscarried and who still will step up and say, God, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. He says, the person who will do that in faith, he can just go ahead and expand to the right and expand to the left. I've been there. I've seen some dreams miscarry in my life. I've seen some promises didn't come to pass in my life that I thought should have came to pass. Back, I remember singing out over them, Fred. I can remember singing out over them anyway and say, God, blessed be your name. I'm going to worship you anyway. My home's going to be full of worship. I had to confront sometimes in my spirit that spirit that says it'll never happen. I've had to confront in my own spirit that had so much doubt and say, God, it'll never happen. This will never happen in my life. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. That you've experienced the same thing in your life. You said in your own words, it'll never happen. I'm tired of waiting on it. Some of you heard me share the story of my own marriage and my wife and I about how that we had three miscarriages before we ever had children. And I remember after our third miscarriage, honey, how it was so difficult in our home that we were like, God, I'm serving you here. I'm doing ministry, but, you know, when? And I remember coming home and my wife just being full of tears and trying to comfort her. But I remember one day I came home and she was crying and she said, we're never going to have children. You laugh now because I got five children, in case you're a guest today. That's why they're laughing. She said, we're never going to have children. And I remember something, Fred, in my spirit that rose up that day that God was wanting to do in my life. And I remember stepping up and I looked at my wife and said, I rebuked that statement in the name of Jesus. I said, there's going to be life in this home. I walked over to my door and I opened up the door of my home. And I said, Satan, I reject every negative spirit that's been placed in my home and my family. You have no place here. You must leave in the name of Jesus. And I pointed out the door. And in my spirit, I kicked him out of my spirit, out of my home. I said, honey, there's going to be life in this home. We're going to believe God and we're going to worship him. And there was something new that happened in our spirit that day as we began to stretch our faith and worship the Lord. And of course, five children later, it happens, okay? So listen, today I don't know what you're going through, but I know this, that God is wanting you to sing. He's wanting you to confront that spirit in your life that says it will never happen. He's wanting you to confront that spirit that says, you know what, I want to give God everything, but I just don't know how. Let's keep reading the scripture. It's so full of life. The call to new life is made through singing of song. But the problem of barrenness will be answered by a promise. See, our problem is answered by a promise. Our problem is answered by a promise. Our problem is we're bare. We've miscarried, been able to conceive the dream, the vision, the things that we're asking God for. And the solution is a promise that God says, if you'll sing in faith and trust in me, He goes, it's all right, you can expand your tent, for I will send the child that you need. And we find this new life, and even in Job, this is not on the overhead, but in Job chapter 38, we see where Job, he had asked the Lord, and he was so down in the dumps because he had lost everything, stricken with leprosy, and down, had lost his whole family, all of his wealth, one of the richest men in the world, had lost it all. And finally we see him saying, God, you know, what are you doing here? And finally God and Job have a man-to-man talk, and it's really an awesome story. If you've never read this story, you need to mark that down and go back and read it this week. It's in Job chapter 37 and 38. Awesome story. And it says, out of a whirlwind that God spoke to Job. And basically he says this in verse 6 and 7. He's going on saying, all right, Job, Mr. Big Pants here. He says, I know you think you're in control of everything here, but where were you? Where were you when I hung the stars and I created the heavens and the earth and I spoke the earth into existence? Where were you when I fastened the cornerstones of the earth together? And in this scripture, he says this. He says, when I fastened the stones together, he says, I did it with the angelic choir singing in the background. He says, when the angelic choir, when the angels and the stars were singing to me, he goes, I created the earth. Now some of you say, Pastor, how does that relate to my life? Why is that important? Because it's like this. We find that worship and music accompany creativity in God. And some of you here are wanting God to create something new in your spirit. Some of you here today are wanting God to create a new baby, a new vision. He's wanted to give you a new purpose, a new destiny for your life. And how does that happen? It comes through singing to God, saying, God, you're great. I give you all my life, God. I give you everything I am. And we find creativity of the Holy Spirit through God. It accompanies worship through singing. It's such an important thing. In verse 4, it says this, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will not remember the reproach of the widowhood anymore. Now, isn't this unique that God would say, hey, here's a promise. You're going to bear. Expand here, expand there. You're going to conceive children. God's given a promise. And then he follows it up by saying this, do not fear. Why was he saying that? Because he knows that you and I, our natural tendency is to be fearful. What's our biggest fear? Of singing out to God in faith and saying, God, I know you're going to take care of me. God, I know you're going to do something new in my life. What's my biggest fear? My biggest fear for you and I is that somehow my past will disqualify me for the promise. My biggest fear is my past will disqualify me for the promise that God has for me. And some of us are afraid to go there because we think God's going to say, you know what? This is only for people who've done it this way. I know what you did, and you're just not quite up to this level as the rest of them. So you may be singing there, but you'll sing in the mirror because that's the only thing that's going to happen. And God says, listen to you, do not fear. Do not be ashamed. Do not be disgraced. He says, you will not be put to shame. For the promise is there. He says, you will forget the shame of your youth, and he will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. What's he saying? He's saying, man, the guilt's not going to be there. Just sing and believe. My past is not going to be hanging over my head. He says, just give it to me and believe. Your neighbor may see you one way, but I see you a different way. Your family may see you one way, but I see you a different way. You may have hurt some people in your time, but I'm the God who restores that. And I will restore back to your life once again. I'll restore fresh vision in your life. I'll restore fresh relationship in your life. I have a new dream. I have a new destiny. But he says, sing. Sing over those barren times in your life. And don't be shameful. For I have put to rest your shame. What a powerful thing. And then in verse 5, God describes himself here. Look what he says. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Wow. He's saying this. Who's going to be the one to take care of that barrenness? Who's the one that's going to do all this promise? He says right here, your maker. Who's the maker? He is the creator, the one who creates life, the one who creates life in the womb, the one who creates life in your spirit, the one who creates life in your heart. Who is the maker? He says, I am the creator. the Lord of hosts. I have power to create. I am the maker of life. Wow. What seems impossible to man is impossible. But through God, all things are possible. He says, I have the power to create life in your life. He says, I am your Redeemer. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is called God of the whole earth. What an awesome thing here. What's he saying? He's saying, I am the Maker. I create in your life. I am the Redeemer. I restore your life. I am God of the whole earth. What's he saying that for? What's he saying? I'm God of the whole earth. He's saying there's nothing. There's no dream. There's no problem. There's nothing in your life that's too big for me. I am ruler over your life, and I am ruler over the universe. I have the power to say when life ends and when it begins. I have the power to create in you. I am God of the whole earth, of the whole universe. And today in closing, some of you here, a lot of you here, I know you feel this way in your life. I know you feel that you've miscarried a lot of things you wanted to do for God in your life. Some of you have miscarried some things in your life. Some of you have done things in your life that you feel like, there's no way God could ever restore me in my life. I'm here to tell you, God is here to restore you in your life today. But just sing. Just sing. Some of you moms here today, this word is literally for you. You've been trying to conceive for a long time, and you're even afraid for me to even speak that word because you don't want to get your hopes up. I'm not going to embarrass you today, but you know who I'm talking about. In your spirit, you say, Pastor, I'm even afraid to try again. I'm even afraid to believe again. I just simply say to you, trust in the word of the Lord and sing. Sing. Sing over your problem. Whether your barrenness of the womb, or of your spirit, or your heart, or of a dream, or of a vision. Something God's calling you to do. Sing. Let your home be full of singing. May your home be full of worship, not just on Sunday morning. May your car be full of worship, not just on Sunday morning. May your life be full of worship every day, because every day I'm singing over my problem. Every day I'm singing over my life and saying, God, you are great, and my trust is in you. I'm going to show a video here this morning. I received this video on Friday of this last week, and I got this video forwarded to me through YouTube, and I don't usually look at too many videos. I get a lot of people forward me things, and if I did that, I just wouldn't have time to watch them all, to be honest with you. And so I don't look at too many, but this person sent me this video, and it caught my eye, and I watched it. And on Saturday, as I was thinking about this video, I thought, God, this really fits into what you're wanting to do here this morning. But it's on YouTube, so God, I don't know if I want to use it. The quality's not as good as I usually use when I use a video. And so I said, all right, God, I can't get out of my spirit, so I'll go back and I'll watch that video one more time. And if you want me to show this video, then you give me confirmation that I need to show this video in my spirit. And so I go back to open that email up, and wouldn't you know, somebody else emailed me the next day, that's the same day, and had forwarded me the same video. I said, Pastor, I think you really need to see this. I said, okay, God, I'm getting the message here. I understand you're trying to confirm something in me. And this video today is of a young woman who was walking with God. She was dancing with God. She was in tune with God. But somewhere along the way, she gave way to those things of her relationship with God. And she began to go after things of the world. And in that, she began to abort the things that God had put in her spirit. And she finds herself struggling with addiction and with failures in her life. And as she tries to get free and make her way back to Jesus, we see where she's actually being fought in her spirit. And you're going to see a lot of warfare in this video. I mean, she's trying to fight her way back to God. The evil spirits are there fighting her, trying to keep her from getting back to her relationship with God. And we see a point in the video where she falls to her knees and she begins to sing and pray to God. And when she does that, we see Jesus step in and block her and shield her. And it's just an awesome video. I want you to see this today. I believe it will impact your life and go along what we're talking about, just singing.
Thank you.
There's things that's happening in your spirit you don't even know what's happening. When you fall on your knees and give God praise in your life, there's things that are happening that you don't even know what's happening in the spirit. And the command of the Lord today to you and I is a simple word. Just sing. Just sing. Just give me worship. And allow me to bring life to your life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Today, if you're here and say, Pastor Gene, you're talking about God bringing life to your life. And I realize that as I'm sitting here today that I don't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I can relate to that girl in the video because my life seems so torn apart. And I feel like I'm so stressed in my life. And I feel like everything I do is a disappointment. And as I'm sitting here today, I know that God's Spirit is calling me. I know that I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. First and foremost, before I do anything else, I want to accept Him as Lord and my Savior today. I will not embarrass you at all, but nobody's looking but me, but I want you to give you that chance to make that decision today. Can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus into my life. Can you just raise it high where I can see it? Nobody else is looking but me. Thank you. Anybody else today? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, that's me, Pastor. I need to accept Jesus Christ into my life. Before we go any further, I want to pray for those who raised their hands. So I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Just repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus. Let's all say it together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. I give you all my hurt, all of my pain, all of my sin. I give to you. I ask you to be my Savior, to be Lord of my life. I believe in you, Jesus. I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's clap for those who made that decision today. Amen. Today, if you prayed that prayer, we have a packet waiting for you at the very back of the auditorium today by the sound booth. You go back there today, immediately following the service, we'll have a packet for you today that has some simple things in there, what to do next, and there's some gift things in there for you today. Second question I have for you today is, how many of us today can think of those barren times in our life? How many of us today are going through things that we had dreams that have miscarried? We had vision that hasn't been there in a long time. You thought because of your past or because the promise hasn't been fulfilled, you've given up on those things. And I'm here to say today to God, saying, just begin to sing. Begin to sing, because not only is one baby coming, but multiple babies are coming. He said, expand to the left, expand to the right. Just sing over your problem. Sing over your barrenness. And allow God's Spirit to create in you a new thing. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. We're going to sing. And as we're singing, I want you to apply in your heart what we said during this message today. I want you to see yourself giving everything you are to God today. Your problem, your fears, your pain. Seeing you giving everything you are. At the end of this worship time, then we're going to baptize our candidates. But let's worship the Lord together. Let's apply this message to our life. Let's just sing giving God everything we are. Thank you.
you prayed. Abba, Father, have your way. For they know not what they do. Let the cross draw men to you.
Destiny. And God, today I believe in my heart, Lord, that there's people today that you are creating in them a new thing, that there's a new life that's coming, there's a new vision that's coming, there's a new purpose that's coming, there's a new hope that's coming, There's a new marriage that's coming. There's a new relationship with their children that's coming. Father, in the name of Jesus today, Lord, we thank you, God. We sing over our barrenness. We shout over our barrenness today, God. And we say, Holy Spirit, come. We are not ashamed, but we have victory in our Maker. We have creativity in our Maker. We have life in our Maker. We are redeemed by your Spirit. And Father, today we shout unto God, giving you praise. One more time, can you give God a praise and a shout unto God? Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.